we knelt down at the rails together, you know. And I was just sitting there, you know, with my son on my left and my daughter on my right. And I'm just praying this thanksgiving, this gorgeous moment, this moment of such fullness and love. Oh, God, I'm sitting here, I'm praying, and I've just received communion with my children. Oh, God, I'm just so grateful. What a beautiful thing you have done. And all of a sudden, I felt this slap on my face. And I looked down at my daughter. She's like, what are you doing? Can we move along here? Can we do something? Just in case I was getting too comfortable with how great God had made things. You get those little reminders that, you know, we got to keep moving. That God's plan, as beautiful as it is always going to have a few bumps and crazy turns in it. You know, we get those feelings. We have those plans that we know are really good for us. And we know, you know, down deep that God has laid out for us. But when those plans start to take a little too long to come to fruition, you know, or we get in those places where we're a little confused about what step to take next in the plan, or we hit those snags and those obstacles that really make us feel like the plan is just being derailed. It's at those times we need a plan. We need a plan, a way to keep ourselves faithful, to keep ourselves on track, to keep ourselves moving where God wants us to go. And I think this passage today gives us some hints about how Abraham was able to do those things, was able to stay on track. Now, Abraham, you know, of all people in the Bible, we think, you know, probably had a great connection with God. If anybody could expect that he was on the same page with God, and that God's plans were his plans and vice versa, and they were just moving ahead together, and everything was going to be great. If there's any person who could claim that, it would be Abraham, right? Because you remember the story, or maybe you don't. Abraham was kind of minding his own business. You know, he had a great family. He had a prosperous, you know, he was prosperous. He had animals, all those things that made a person prosperous in Bible times. And suddenly he hears a voice from God. God comes into his life. And he lays out this huge plan that he has for Abraham that has nothing to do with where Abraham is at that moment. His plan goes like this. He says, Abraham, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. All those who bless you, I will bless. And those who curse you, I will curse. And every person on earth will be blessed through you. Now that is quite a plan. And if you listen to it, there's like blessing, 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 blessing. If I was hearing that plan, that's all I would hear. Blessing, 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 blessing. I'd be, all right, let's go. Well, that's what Abraham did. I mean, we don't know how he got this message. We don't know if he heard a voice or if he just had it impressed upon his heart. But whatever it was, it moved him to strike out. And he went with his wife Sarah and all of their possessions and struck out to find this land that God promised him and to become this great nation. Never mind that Abraham had no idea where he was going and he had no children and he was 75 years old. How's all this going to work out? But he goes. And as he's going, if you know the story, he hits all kinds of snags and all kinds of obstacles, right? He's looking for this great promised land, and what does he run into? Famine. He finds famine. He runs into war. He has to fight battles. His wife, Sarah, is taken into captivity in Egypt and used as Pharaoh's concubine for a while. That's tough stuff. I mean, if Abraham is thinking this is blessing after blessing after blessing, he's probably going, okay, that's enough blessing. I don't think I can survive it. Right? But here's the thing. Through it all, God is with them. God gets them out of these jams. God gets them out of these predicaments that they're in. And over and over and over again, in visions and dreams and feelings and voices, he reiterates this promise to Abraham, this plan for Abraham. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. Your name is going to be great. You're going to bless others. All the people of the earth are going to be blessed through you. It's an amazing thing. Well, Abraham goes along and he goes along, and finally, time goes by. Years go by, friends. And finally, God comes to him in a voice, and he says, Abraham, guess what? The time has come. Within 1 year, you're going to have a son. A son, you and Sarah, you're going to have a son. And his name is going to be Isaac. And it's going to be the beginning of this great nation that you're going to become. So God lays this on him finally, you know. And Abraham, of course, he hears this news and he falls flat on his face. He falls flat on his face. And of course, he praises God. He says, thank you, oh God, for your wonder and for the greatness of your plan, right? No, actually, he doesn't do that. He falls on his face. What does he do? He laughs. He laughs. Look, he's been through all this stuff. He's been through all of these obstacles. This plan has been taking forever to come to fruition. It's 25 years, man. He's 100 years old. Sarah's 90. We're going to be a great nation? That's a little late to becoming a great nation. That's too late to becoming a lousy nation. That's just too late. So Abraham is laughing. Laughing. But here's what's most important. He looks up. And guess who's not laughing? God's not laughing. God's not laughing. You're going to be a great nation. I'm going to bless you. Your name is going to be great. You're going to be a blessing. Every single person on earth is going to be blessed through you. So look, Abraham at that point, he does what he probably should have been doing all along. Because truth be told, and if you read some of those stories of all those obstacles and all of those snags that he ran into, many of those were caused because he didn't trust God's plan. He and Sarah, they tried to rush the plan. They tried to take matters in their own hands. They tried to make the plan better, kind of improve the plan. They didn't trust God completely. But now Abraham does what he probably should have done all along, and what you and I should always consider doing as we try to live out God's plans for us. Abraham goes to his tent, and there he waits, and he watches, and he prepares himself to move in God's time. Waits, and he watches, and prepares himself to move in God's time. And the way that he waits, the way that he waits in that tent is for us to really look at, for me to really look at. The way he waits, Scripture says, is he waits at the entrance to his tent. I just get this picture of him sitting in the entrance to his tent, awake and alert. He is not waiting, languishing back somewhere in the back of the tent, sleeping, all drowsy and depressed because this plan is taking so long. He's not full of worry. He's not full of anxiety. He's not frittering away his time on, you know, the Bible Times equivalent of the internet and television, whatever they did, camel races, I don't know. He's at the entrance to his tent. And like I told the kids, he's at the entrance to his tent waiting expectantly for something good to happen. Yeah. He's waiting for something good to happen. You know, I've got a dog. She's about a year old. She's a puppy. And if you've ever had a puppy, I bet you know this. I love her because whenever I walk into a room, actually anybody walks into a room, her ears perk up, you know, and her eyes get really bright because just seeing you, she expects something good's going to happen. She always expects something good to happen. And because I'm a human being, you know, it's often that's just not the case. But it doesn't stop her from always expecting something good to happen. And that's where we need to be. When we're in our tent, now I don't have a tent, you know, I'm a regular human being. I don't live in a tent. I can't stay all day, you know, hanging around thinking about God in the tent. But we do have a tent. We have a dwelling place, our prayer time in the morning. I hope you have this. A prayer time, a place in the morning, our tent of meeting with the Lord. Yes? Where we sit and we wait in expectation for something good to happen because we know that God will bring something good. So Abraham's waiting. He's there, you know. He's waiting expectantly in the entrance to his tent. He's not in the back somewhere. He's in the entrance to the tent. And he's looking out there, and what does he see? He's watching, and he sees three men. Now listen, he doesn't know that one of these three men is God. You know, he doesn't have the Bible yet like we do. You know, he doesn't know. This story's been told to us. We know that one of those three men is God. He doesn't know that. All he knows is there are three men coming, and God can work through anything and anyone. Is this true? Is everyone awake today? God can work through anybody at any time. Is that right? Let's say it. God can work through anyone at any time. And he sees these men, and he says, oh, three men. And what does he do, man? He is ready to go meet them. You know, so often in our lives, an opportunity, a door closes on us. A door closes on us, and what do? We get fixated on the door. We're gazing longingly at the door, the thing that's been closed, and we miss the opportunity that God is bringing to us at that moment, the opportunity that's coming over the horizon for us. Well, that's not Abraham. He's ready. He's ready to move, and he does. He runs out to where those men are, doesn't he? He doesn't even wait for them to get to him. He runs out to them, and he begs them to stay. Oh, yeah, he brings them water. He brings them food, and that's not an easy thing to do in Bible times. He brings them food, and he begs them to stay with him. He seizes this opportunity to be with these men. Oh, yes. God's going to bring us amazing opportunities. But we have to be willing to seize them, to having waited and watched and prepared ourselves to move. To move. Now, like I say, we don't have the luxury, so to speak, of being able to hang out all day in our tents and wait around for God, you know, just to do his thing. No, but we do have our prayer tents, our places in the morning. Oh, friends, this is the place. This is the place. And it can be any place, you know. It can be any place where you feel comfortable, where I feel comfortable being real with God. Have you ever been real with God? Are we real with God? Do we tell God our frustrations? Are we lifting up to God our fears? Are we telling him the truth about where we feel? Are we speaking truthfully to God? That's what we do in that prayer tent as we wait on him. Oh, yes. Prayer tents anywhere where we feel like we can stand up and dance around for God because we're feeling a little lethargic. Well, we're just going to dance a little bit for God. Where we can pray to God, we can sing to God, we can be a fool for God. No, I'm not going to do it right now. But that's where we need to be. That's how we need to be. Speaking out loud the words of God, praising him out loud, lifting up his name out loud, because you know what? When we hear the word of God in our ears by our own voice and we're lifting up his name in praise in our own voice, it wakes us up and it opens us up to the presence of God. And that's what Abraham is doing in that tent as he waits, as he watches, as he prepares to move, and then he sees them. He says, oh, they're here. Oh, yeah. Come on. Look. Look. God. God has an amazing plan for you. God has a plan for you, and you may have the inkling of the plan already. You know what? It may be, you know, to finish that degree or to get that degree, to get off to college. That may be the thing. It may be, you know, that unfinished project, that unfulfilled dream that we know God is calling us to finish and to do. And we know it because everything else we try and is kind of falling away. And that one thing is there. God's saying, go for it, go for it. Do it, do it, do it. Oh, yeah. So we need to give into that, to move towards that, to move to do that plan. Oh, come on. This is what God is telling us to do. Now, I know some of us today are kind of, you know, we're dealing with a lot, right? Everybody is. Dealing with illness, we're dealing with fear about the future. We're wondering what's going to happen next. You know, we kind of get worried, we get weighed down by kind of the realities of life. But look, I know this too. And you know this too. God can change everything. God can change everything. If you guys knew where I was, you know, 25 years ago, and the plan that I thought I was working out and how that was going for me. It's really, I shouldn't be standing up here talking to you as your pastor right now. Some of you still think I shouldn't be talking to you as your pastor right now, but that's okay. I am. God can change everything when we wait on him, when we watch. Scan the horizon for those opportunities that he's bringing to us and then see them and then seize them and in his power work it. Work that plan. Oh, yeah. Future's coming. Future's coming. Are we ready for it? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Abraham was sitting in his tent, you know, and he's waiting and he's watching. He's scouring the horizon. Those three men come and he gives them everything that they need. He waits on them. And then God says to Sarah, surely I'll return about this time next year, and you will have a son. And Sarah, she hears this and she laughs. It's easy to laugh, you know, when we have these dreams and these plans. We go, oh, come on, that could never be. But Sarah notices something, notices that Abraham's not laughing. You know, he's been through this. And then she realizes that the stranger is God and he's not laughing either. 100-year-old, 90-year-old, that means nothing to God. I will make you a great nation. Oh, I will bless you. I'll make your name great and you'll be a blessing to others. Every single person on this earth is going to be blessed through you. And you know what? That line from Abraham all the way down ends up with Jesus. Who's been blessed by Jesus? Who's been blessed by Jesus? Come on. Come on, you can admit it. Who's been blessed by Jesus? Come on now. Come on now. We can raise our hands. Yeah. Ha. So you tell me, can God make his plans work out? Oh, yes. Can he make them work out for us? Oh, yes. When we wait, we watch, seize the opportunities, and then just get ready, friends. Get ready to rejoice as we move on towards fruition of that plan. Let's pray together. Father, we are just grateful for the stories that you give us. We're grateful, God, for the people that you have influenced in the past that continue to influence us today. Oh, God, we praise you. Lord, let us not tarry in waking up in the morning and saying, good morning, God, and putting our hands in the air and just letting you wash over us. Let us meet you tomorrow and every moment with expectation. Oh, God, bless us. Show us the way. In your name we pray. Amen.